I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Welcome.
Definitely not.
To Monday's podcast.
We're going to kick off with a song. Here it is.
No, they just do it in order now. No. That's at the end of the show.
No, they don't do it in order.
Oh, no, you know what?
Because it's,
Stop ruining the magic of podcasting.
Oh, she ruins it every
podcast
time.
Podcast just appear.
You're going to get a surprise. Either way.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Well, it's no secret that Lego Masters premiered on Channel 9 last night, hosted by Hamish Blake.
Did you let the kids stay up to watch it?
100%
yeah,
I did, because
too.
I think it's one of those family shows that doesn't involve bloody food, so I'm all up for it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see.
We have a hard and fast 7 p.m. bedtime rule on a Sunday night, but I broke it.
They
stayed up.
I think it's such a unique concept, and I think there's so much good that's going to come out of this show. So, yes, they were up until 9, as was I. And you know what else was out?
What?
The Lego. Within the first ad break, Mum, can we have the Lego sheet? Because I put all the Lego into like a bundle, into a little sack.
Life hacks. Did you see that on a Facebook page?
Yep.
Good one.
Except I didn't buy the proper one with the drawstring.
I just put
it in an old sheet.
Oh, well, I bought the drawstring one. So one of us is doing better in life.
So out came the Lego. And I'm telling you, this is going to be the bane of my existence, even though I've brought it upon myself, haven't I?
Well, but what they were creating was
phenomenal, amazing.
And if you want to, you know, encourage kids' creativity, then it means that
there's a price to pay.
There is, and that price is usually around $20 to $40, depending on what Lego set you buy.
And also extreme pain in your foot when you walk on top of the Lego.
That's something they need to give you when you decide to become a parent, is just lay out a trail of Lego and say, run across it. If you can make it, then you're ready.
You're succeeding.
And here's your song.
Song about Lego.
You wrote a song about Lego.
We wrote a song about Lego. Here
Let's
it is,
go.
Guys.
Wow.
It's a long lead in, actually.
This is Those Two Girls with Lise and Sarah, and a song they wrote and sing.
The show glows white on the telly tonight. Kids are all glued to the screen. A kingdom of block construction, as addictive as nicotine. And now here's Hamish Blake, no Andy by his side.
Lego's coming back, I'm so terrified.
Don't let it in, don't let them see. Be the mean mum you always have to be.
Conceal the bricks, don't let them know. Well, now they know.
Lego, Lego,
can't hold it back anymore.
Lego, Lego,
pick it up off the damn floor.
If I stand on one more goddamn piece,
let the storm rage on. The pain bothers me every single day.
Monday, here we are.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, a lot of you probably heading back into work after, you know, netting yourselves 10 days off if you were tricksters who only used 3 days annual leave over the last week and a half.
How good is that? I bet you everyone would have put in for that leave, though.
Yep.
Like,
there's a lot of bitter people out there, a lot of happy people out there.
Hey, I've got some great news if you're a hot redhead, male hot redhead.
Okay.
There's a calendar being shot in Ibiza, that's in Spain, and the Z is pronounced TH in case you didn't hear it correctly.
It's a bit like Barcelona.
Ibiza. It's called Red Hot Gingers, and they're looking for 6 more Red Hot Gingers to complete their 2020 calendar shoot. It's a very sought-after place.
So that means they've only found 6
they've
so
found
far.
Six
they've found
hotties.
6 in the entire world.
Yes, they have found 6 hot red hot. I'm getting confused. Red Hot Ginger guys. This calendar is very, very popular, Sarah. It's in its 7th year already, and it raises money for a good cause, like being red hot gingers. I'm not too sure what the cause is, but you know what? These guys are smoking. I'm looking at the top six here. So for all the Aussies out there, go on, put your hats in the ring.
It's not a bad
Do you know a red hot ginger?
I don't know many red-headed males in real life, apart from the guy off Outlander, who is indeed a very handsome
is
redheaded
he a
fellow.
Proper redhead,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, I think so.
Because here you have to be a natural redhead, and it's got to be the proper orange
I'll
ginger.
Give you a fact
it can't
about
be like
redheads.
An auburn.
Do you know that redheads have a much higher pain threshold than other hair colours? Dead set. They often need more anesthesia in surgery.
Really?
Yes. There's something about redheads where they're just strong and they fight through pain. That is a legitimate fact. I know that because one of my besties is a redhead.
And so, what, you torture her on the reg?
Well, I make her listen to this show and I say, you've got a high pain threshold. See how you go with this.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Over the weekend.
Did you see that, yeah. Scott?
I didn't see anything.
We have a little, like, don't ruin the magic too much, but yeah. If someone needs to talk, they put their hand up.
And, yeah, so I just put my hand up. Very clearly.
So you must be in my blind spot. See my glasses arm? That.
Okay, maybe we need to put Sarah in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm listening.
Can
see. You
start. No, you go now.
No,
it's too late. No.
Okay, over the weekend I played a board game.
Well, this was because last week we discovered that there was a study done on the benefits of playing board games with your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much with your family, but it is with your husband, your partner, your whatever, right? They were saying that that is what keeps the magic alive.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps the lightness and the fun in relationships with a bit of a competitive edge, and it really works its magic. So we had said to one another, let's test it out.
Mm-hmm. Did you play a board game with Dane?
No, I did not.
No, I didn't play a board game with Wills either, but I did play Peppa Pig Monopoly with my five-year-old.
All right.
For the first time, and it was all going swimmingly. She won the first game. It was great. The second game, I won. I bought Rebecca Rabbit's house. It tipped her over the edge and she stormed off in a huff, then came back and sort of had a fit over the board. And the board went one way, the pound notes went another, the boot, all the bits and pieces. So she had her first board game tanty.
Hissy fit.
And I thought, oh, this could be the start of something. Because,
is she a sore loser generally?
Well, I think you have to teach kids to lose because you don't want them to grow up to be adults who behave like that with
That's
board
right.
games, right? And so I'd put up a little thing on my Instagram about how badly the Monopoly had gone. And I got a few comments from people saying, oh, very similar stories happened in their family. One said her best friend's family hadn't been allowed to play Monopoly since 2001 because she threw the entire game into an open fire.
Yes, Queen.
Your parents haven't played together in 3 decades.
Mum and Dad used to play board games early in their marriage. And Dad is such a sore loser only when it comes to games. Only when it comes to games that Mum said, I will never ever play with you again. Fast forward 38 years. They've been married 40 and she has never played a game with him since. Hard no for her. And they've stuck to that. So
wow.
I think there's a lot of board game sore losers around the place. 13, 10, 60. Are you one of them? Or do you want to maybe call someone out?
Yeah. Do you have a board game horror story to share with us on 13, 10, 60? Scott, what do you like with board games?
I'm very good if I win, like very humble, very, I just, if like once I know I'm losing, I just get so frustrated. I'm just like, I've got like, I can't win. Why are we still playing?
You like the word game, you like the scattergories and the balderdashes of the world,
So balderdash, not scattergories.
Okay.
Like games where you can lie, like cheat,
okay.
I'm phenomenal at. But
red flag, red
my
flag.
Girlfriend Kim is so, so good at games.
Mm.
And she'll be like, do you want to play this new game? And we'll get minutes into it. And I'll be like, you are far superior at this game than me. Why are we playing? This isn't a game.
Then he starts crying in the toilet.
Then I throw the game in the fire. 13, 10, 60 though. is there a family story around board games in your family? Bit of a tale about a Monopoly board going in a fire, or maybe a sibling that everyone laughed at because that you could just see it building in them.
Jodie on 131060, have you got a board game horror story?
I do, unfortunately.
Go on, hit us with it.
Well, my ex-partner, we would always play the game Cluedo, and I don't know how, but every time he would always win, and I would always get so angry, it would make me not want to play anymore. So he refused to play with me.
I mean, that sounds like a fair call, Jodie. If you're an angry little ant every time you lose, and he's like, well, it was, you know, it was Mr. Smith in the library with the envelope opener. And is that why he's your ex now?
No, no.
All right, well done. We won't go into that, actually. Anthony on 131060, do you have a board game horror story?
I think this phone is a horror story. Just
good news.
Anthony?
Yep.
What have you got for us?
It's not really a board game. It's the card game Uno.
Yeah, right. Thanks for listening.
My two older sisters, they always used to play because, yeah, card games. And, yeah, I don't know how, but, you know, somehow my older sister, Jessica, she always ended up with all the plus fours. And then my older sister, Debbie, always ended up with all the reversals. And I think we got up to pick up 16.
Oh, no.
And then I proceeded to pick up the deck, and then we proceeded to play pick up 52 off the floor instead.
Right.
They're a compound, family, which is a problem. You're not meant to compound the plus four.
They've been cheating on you, Anthony. They have. You are never meant to play more than one draw four at a time.
It sounds
ever.
A lot more
And Anthony would have just been a young little bro trying to keep up with the big sisters, and they've ruined him for life.
It sounds a lot more like Anthony might have been duped. It sounds like they might have been distributing the plus fours and reverses to themselves.
Maybe.
I mean, are we even going to get a caller that actually calls in with a board game?
Yeah, well,
not
Jodie
a card
was.
Game.
It was Cluedo. Oh,
yeah, but Jodie was struggling
okay,
there.
Okay, Dan
called.
Dan, Dan,
are
you there?
On 131060, do you have a board game horror story?
I've got a Monopoly story for you guys.
Yes! All right!
Monopoly. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, me and my friend Bill and a few others were paying. Obviously, when you land on that super tax and income tax, the money goes in the middle. Mm-hmm. Landed on free parking. I grabbed the money. She didn't believe whether it was earned it or not. But, 2 years after that, we didn't speak for, and we do speak now, but there's not another there's not another word about Monopoly, and we will not play it again.
But, Dan, you didn't cheat. You rolled the dice. You advanced your little top hat onto the free parking and you won the tax money. There's no cheating involved. What's her problem?
No idea, but I don't think she read the rules properly. And whether it was just my rules, I don't know. But I just believe that when you land on free parking, you deserve money.
I'm a bit worried. I hope she's not listening, Dan, because this, I know you're on talking terms again now, but this could fan the flame again.
Doesn't bother me. It's always good for a laugh, and I'm fine with that.
I mean, I think board games have the power to do this. They have the power to destroy friendships. Let's play, Sarah.
You will never guess who I met in a public bathroom on the weekend.
I'm going to say your new best friend, because the people that you meet in a public bathroom...
Oh, yeah, they're always so friendly.
You just forge incredible friendships very quickly.
Is this meant to feel uncomfortable for everybody listening?
Look, let me set the scene. So it was Saturday afternoon. My eldest daughter had a birthday party to go to that night, so we had to do the mad dash to the shops to buy a prezzy, okay? And of course, before we went, I said to both my daughters, have you been to the tut before we go to the shops? Because, yep. I mean, personally, I hate public toilets. I hate it. It's not an exciting experience to go there and get two kids sorted out. Yes, we don't need to go. Right, off we trotted to the shops. And I don't know, something clicks over in their bladder. And within 10 minutes, they're like, I need to go to the toilet. Right, so we put down our wares. I said to the shop assistant, I'll be back in 5 minutes. And off we went to the toilets. And as I walked both of them in, I was just about to head into a cubicle with my little one, a lady was coming out of a toilet. And she's probably in her 50s, a bob, glasses, very friendly face. And she stopped and she looked at me and she said, "Are you Sarah from Those Two Girls?" And I, you know, I thought,
wow, yes. You're getting recognised now.
Yes, I am. But there was something about the lady's face that was so familiar. It was like I'd seen it before so clearly. Okay. And then she said, "Oh, I'm Claire. I'm Scott's mum." And I said, "Oh, my God, I knew your face." Because
I stare at it every morning.
If you put a wig on your head and some nice metal frame glasses, you are your mother.
Oh my God! Really, tell me more about Claire.
She was so, she said, "You girls are doing such a great job." And I said, "Well, look, I lied through my teeth, and I said we love Scott. We want to work with him forever." I said, "You've done good as a mother because he is a lovely chap." And she said, "That warms my heart."
Oh, God, Sarah, you have a weird, weird thing with our colleagues' mothers. You've got to stop, right? Doesn't she?
I do not. I just think she's such a nice lady, and we were in such sordid surroundings to have our first meeting.
Did she tell you about it, Scotty?
Yeah, because I... we had to drop over and see her like almost immediately after it happened. And the moment she said in a toilet, I was like, for goodness sake, Mum, like, grow up. But I said, Sarah would have loved that.
I said,
the moment that you said you knew her by association would have been the worst moment of her day. And it would have been immediately 30 seconds after the greatest moment of her day, where she was like, yes, I am Sarah.
I thought it was a rare fan encounter, but it wasn't. It was God's mum. But it was
did she like Sarah? Tell dish the dirt over here. What did she actually say about Sarah?
Don't make it awkward for Scott. She clearly told him I was her favourite out of the duo.
Yeah.
I haven't even met the woman yet. Give me a chance.
Well, that's right.
You
need to loiter around public toilets at large shopping centres and hope you run into Claire.
It's a shopping centre toilet, for goodness sake. Like, you just get in and get out.
They're the
Stop
worst.
Talking to people.
Yeah, it is, because then I'm in the background. Make sure you put toilet paper on the seat.
Was that to Mum?
Hover, Claire, hover.
Kangaroo hop.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Wow, what an experience. A podcast.
That was a very loose Monday show.
That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
It was a bit of fun.
I mean, we've learnt a lot about our listenership when we say board games and they call through. Well, I played cards.
Yeah.
That was really my lesson from today's show. Great.
I've got nothing else left. I put it all into that show that
you
just
heard.
All
I can think about is the porridge that I'm going to make. And Pilates.
You know, okay,
I honestly think our listenership never gets.
What?
And if you're a listener of our show, I want to have a very honest moment. It's going to be a harsh moment, but it's an honest moment.
All right, it's our show, but okay.
Lee's Carlaw walks in here and does an hour of work.
And then what?
And then wants porridge. You know, how dare you think,
Scott,
that after 60 whole minutes,
Scotty,
of radio show.
You can't talk. You walk in here with two separate lunch boxes, one with veggie sticks and hummus every single day.
Yeah.
Like a creature
he
of habit.
He does stay for 8 hours, though.
Then,
I think that's the point.
A six-pack of, like, bread.
I thought you were going to say beer then.
No, a six-pack of either hot cross buns in the Easter season or banana bread or just a loaf of bread.
I don't just do 60 minutes and they go, "I need to go have porridge now."
But what it comes down to is the quality of the work. The 60 minutes that I put in is intense. And it drains.
Aaron pretended to be dead because he was done with his conversation. The moment you said the work you put in is intense, he came back from the dead. He rolled away the stone from the tomb because of show.
The stone being a hit beanbag that he's currently trying to suffocate himself under.
Also, hand up. So I'm just going to talk now. Does your mum make your lunches?
No, he doesn't live with his mother, Sarah.
I'm just checking.
If I did, though, I'd be stoked. That'd be my life.
Do you ever just pop over to your mum's place and kind of try and wrangle some leftovers of family cooking?
Oh, no, I intentionally
What was the last song you played? Someone's messaged. This is important.
It was Let It Go by Frozen.
Closer by the Chainsmokers. I don't know, obviously, because it was good. But no, I regularly self-invite dinner over at
You
home.
Self-invite dinner over, do you?
Do you just rock up and she has to feed you? What if she's only made enough for you and your dad? I'd be like, beat it.
I just don't think that ever happens with mums, and you take this hard line approach, but when your boys rock up back home to you when they're in their 20s, you will be a feeder through and through.
Probably. Probs.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Mm.
Mums and their sons have incredible relationships, and I think you will be one of those mums.
Yeah, it becomes like a real mummy's boy codependency thing.
No, I refuse to raise a mummy's boy.
That's what all mothers of sons say.
Lise refuses to raise a mummy's boy. She's raising two. So that's...
No, not at all. They can do their own shit.
And that's the attitude we know and love.
All right, guys, have a good day.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.